Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hall.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
Chicago sports talk for your morning.
Oh, man, I really wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie.
I'm going to be very curious to see who they finally settle on at the defensive coordinator position, because it's an important job. It's one where the head coach doesn't give it a lot of attention and allows whomever he hires to sort of run it on their own and do their own thing. And David, let me say this. I don't think it's a controversial statement. There doesn't seem to be much symmetry between what they do offensively and what they do defensively. In the past, at least, it hasn't been a question of promoting whatever you do best and supporting it with the other side of the ball. In fact, it's been quite the opposite, having one element of the team built up, and that would be the defense.
The last two times that Matt Nagy was interviewing defensive coordinators, he could lean on the fact, and it was a crutch almost, well, you know what, we have this Super Bowl caliber defense because we have stars at every level, and just watch them play. Just don't screw it up, guys. Give them a structure, provide some stability, and don't screw it up. Now it's different. Now they have obvious decline. You don't know who's going to be there because of salary cap reasons. There might be a surprise cut or two on the defensive side of the ball because of all the money invested. And you need maybe a guy like a James Betcher, just as an example, that's going to be more aggressive and more daring and try to compensate for the talent that is walking out the door or that has regressed or that you don't have anymore. Because that was a luxury in Matt Nagy's first three seasons that I don't think he's going to have in his fourth.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Okay, let's go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. It is a glorious Thursday, January 21st. In the fine city of Chicago. It's a little snowy, it's a little cold, but it's warm in our hearts, David. How are you?
It's winter in Chicago. Morning, Mully. Happy Thursday. Doing well today. Extraordinary day yesterday. Ready to get going this morning.
No doubt about it. And we are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And I don't believe, maybe I'm wrong, I don't believe you, as a prominent college football player turned media member, have received an interview for the Bears defensive coordinator job.
Not
hasn't
yet.
Hasn't happened yet. There you
no,
go.
That I'm not sitting by my phone either, waiting for it to buzz. I don't think that's coming. I don't have the pedigree of being a Chicago Bear legend, which I suppose entitles you to an interview for that job. They're interviewing a lot of people. They're casting a pretty wide net. And yesterday we learned that it had caught Mike Singletary. How about that?
I know that a lot of people laugh at that, and I know that it's kind of a nod to a different era, to a guy that was a great player on the team. But he did do some coaching. He did bounce around the league, and he was a head coach at one point in San Francisco. And if you talk to people about Mike Singletary, he is a great leader of men. Now, I don't know that he's a great defensive mind. I understand how hard he worked as a player and the time and commitment he put in. But it bothered me a little bit, to be brutally honest with you. And you know, we're going to take part in this. Everybody's going to look at it and say it's insane and that it's just again, you're just trying to – a guy called you up and wants to – oh, yeah, come on in. We'll talk. Oh, great to see you. I would hate to think that if you gave the guy an interview, it wasn't a serious interview. I don't want to think that either, Mully,
but I think that there are a couple of distinctions to be made here. Mike Singletary deserves everyone's respect. I mean, he is a Hall of Fame linebacker, one of the greatest Bears at the position ever, and you know the tradition there here in the city. At the same time, what you said is exactly true. He's known, he's a leader of men, a man among men, but that's not necessarily the primary qualification for a defensive coordinator.
Right.
And the experience level, I think, does matter. And being part of a staff and being a guy that calls the plays and calls the signals are two different things. And
yes,
he's been out of the league for 5 years,
right,
the National Football League, maybe not other leagues. He's coached at high school. He's coached in other, you know, defunct leagues. But I just – it seemed odd, and it did come across as maybe they were – you know, it was as much a professional courtesy as anything.
Yes. Yeah, and I won't argue that at all in any way, and I'm not, I just don't want to, and I'm sure we're going to hear it today on the air, but I hate the idea that we're somehow going to diminish what he's achieved in his life because the Bears interviewed him for a job that he probably isn't really prepared to do at this point. It bothers me a little bit that's out there. That's all.
There's no need for the ridicule. I mean, there
yeah,
isn't.
That's all.
You can have a conversation about what the Bears need in that role without having to diminish the qualifications of somebody, or not even the qualifications. I think that's fair game. But you don't have to try to diminish the stature of somebody who stands tall in Bears history. And that is what is bothersome. And I can hear it in your voice, and I think it's wise to be cautious because you know that it's coming. You know it's already happened because it is an easy punchline. It's way too easy, and it's unfortunate because of, you know, he hasn't had a lot of success making the transition into the coaching ranks.
And it seems like an act of madness. So I guess what I'm saying is, it's not his fault, if that makes any sense. The Bears are in a very, I mean, I heard Jared Payton, we just played that, but the Bears are not in a place of great respect.
No.
We're talking to people up there about coaching moves at different points, and the conversation was, you know, people, you hear people, it's almost like they don't believe that we're doing, yeah, no one believes. Are you paying attention? And I think that the crowd wasn't there. I think that they don't. I think they're in a bubble. I don't know what else to think after that Zoom conference to end the season. But I think that their perception of how the collaboration and culture is working versus the public perception is absolutely diametrically opposed.
There's a pretty big disconnect. Yeah, and it was great to hear Jarrett Payton on the station and in his interview with Zach. He's one of the nicest guys in town, and he has a relationship that's going to be very different than other people in the media here in town,
right,
and that's understandable, and everybody gets that. But there is a major disconnect going on here. And to the follow-up on the Singletary point, I think that interviewing Mike Singletary for the defensive coordinator's job almost says more about where the Bears are than it does about Mike Singletary and where he is in his career.
Right.
Because it does suggest that there's still this disconnect, a lack of awareness. It doesn't, that doesn't scream progress. It just, you wonder what they're doing and why they're doing it. And this is a consistent question that rattles in our brains.
The NFC title game is going on without the Bears. I think we all are aware of that. And you got Tom Brady heading into Aaron Rodgers, and the weather's going to be awful, and we all understand that. And I checked Bet Rivers again today, -3.5, so that's a field goal plus, and the total of 50.5. Again, it's supposed to be below freezing, and Aaron Rodgers was asked about this as his fifth, I believe, NFC Championship game in his career. That's as many as the Bears have had since 1970. But he was asked if this is the last one. And he just waxed poetic, David. I mean, he reminded you that he is a very thoughtful guy, that he knows they drafted Jordan Love. I don't think anyone's replacing him this year. But there was a hint, just a tiny hint, that maybe he's going to wind up with the Bears.
Yeah, if you want to hear that, I'm not gonna destroy that hallucination for you, and I'm not going to kind of burst your bubble. I heard almost the opposite. You know, here's what I hear when I hear the evolution of Aaron Rodgers since they drafted Jordan Love and all this offseason kind of commitment to rediscovering who he is. Doesn't he sound like such a zen place right now?
Oh God.
Molly, I heard a guy that probably has accepted that, has anticipated that, has braced himself for that, and I think it's probably for less of a possibility now because of the way that he has responded to that. In that, I mean, Jordan Love could be like the latest example of like Jimmy Garoppolo. Remember how much we talked about the succession plan in New England? And boy, that Jimmy G, isn't he the hot new thing out in New England? And he never really got the shot in New England. And he had to leave, and Tom Brady stayed, and he outlasted him. I could see that happening in Green Bay very easily.
And now they're like, hey, why don't you go back, Jimmy? That's okay. You can go back to New England. Rodgers, he did. He went all Phil Jackson on you. I'm always just trying to stay present, especially this year, as much as anything, and enjoy the moments. This is his response to his last, potentially last championship game. I hope there's more opportunities, but I don't know. I mean, I really don't. That stuff is out of my control. My future is a beautiful mystery, I think. Oh, come on! Isn't the future not just his?
Hold on.
Isn't it a beautiful mystery?
We did not warn our listener the dramatic reading by Mike Mulligan.
Oh, listen, this moved me, man.
I did?
Come on.
Of all the things we heard yesterday, that you're quoting Aaron Rodgers?
He's talking about his future is a beautiful mystery. That means he's moving. It's a beautiful mystery. He's going to be wearing the colors of the Chicago Bears. That's what I heard.
Okay.
I mean, you might call me delusional, and God bless you. I want to hear what I want to hear, and I heard it in Aaron Rodgers' voice.
Okay. I thought we were telling the truth now. I thought this was day one of truth-telling. Facts matter, and I think that the fact is it's hard for me to see Aaron Rodgers moving on from there. Look, Matt LaFleur – seems like a pretty bright guy. You know, Gutekunst seems like a pretty bright guy. After they get to the Super Bowl this year, and I think they're going to be there, and after another season next year, I think where Aaron Rodgers will still be at the top of his game, whenever they have to make the call on what's next, do you think they want to stop winning? I think it's a huge risk.
Unfortunately, David, I mean this, I think that people get a job and they don't think about what the job is and what they need to do. In other words, you didn't draft somebody to help Aaron Rodgers in the right now. You thought about your own beautiful future. You thought about the mystery of your own life, and you thought, I'm going to be the guy that brings that keeps the Favre to Rodgers line going in Green Bay. And look, I've brilliantly drafted Jordan Love. The problem is that whether you meant it or not, you nudged him. And you nudged him toward the exit, whether you meant it or not. You didn't get the receiver he probably wanted. You didn't get the weapon that he'd been dreaming of. You got a nudge. And you nudged the guy toward his future as not just Jeopardy host. That's obviously in the short-term future. But the long-term future could be winning a championship in Chicago.
Okay.
Just to let those guys know that they nudged him.
I think you nudged him toward being even greater than he was, and if that was by design, you're the smartest guy in the room. But it was a consequence of them drafting a guy to his future replacement who may never replace him now because he responded to that immediacy of the pressure. So Jordan Love is going to make a tremendous quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders or whoever else he ends up on in the future, because I think this is another New England scenario. And I referenced Jimmy G, who now, if you wanted to have me believe that Jimmy G could be on the street in a couple weeks to a month or so, and then the Bears could look at him. Okay, that's a different conversation. But I don't think that the days of future Aaron Rodgers in Chicago, he'll be visiting like he has every year for the past 15, but it'll be in a green uniform.
And you know what, David? You're probably right, okay? I'm probably just having a little fun with this, to be honest with you. But in the back of my mind, if you really – you know, if Brett Favre wants to wind up in Minnesota to tweak the Minnesota – to tweak the Green Bay Packers, wouldn't it be better for Rodgers to wind up in Chicago if you can keep – and I'm not talking about next year. I'm saying – in a couple years, when the deal is done, he is going to make them all pay. That's the beautiful mystery.
I would love it. Who wouldn't love
it? Tom Brady goes into Green Bay to play Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers looks at Tom Brady and says, you know, he's 43 years old. I'm 37. That's my future. That's the beautiful mystery, is whether I want to retire to Florida and still play football, or how long can I go? I think Aaron Rodgers can go just as long as Tom Brady, and I think it'd be a good thing for the Bears, if Brady ever once considered coming here, it'd be a good thing for them to not let another one get away.
Well, Rodgers is 37, but he didn't play until 2008, so he's a young 37. He's got at least five. I think he's got five good years in him. That's not inconceivable.
Yeah.
And I just don't know that the Bears are in that position. Who knows? Hopefully by then they're not still looking for a quarterback, Molly. Really? I mean, in 5 years?
Oh, come on. David, if you've been following the plot nothing's changed. They changed nothing. Right. We don't have a quarterback and we don't win, but God, that we get along.
You mean Mac Jones isn't going to be coming off his second Pro Bowl in 5 years?
Maybe, but not in Chicago.
Okay. All right. What am I talking about?
I
know. It's like I just got here.
It's a fun thing to talk about, and a man can dream. And I choose to view the future as a beautiful mystery. And who knows? Who knows what glorious gift will be unveiled for the Chicago Bears at some point or other.
Listen, don't let me spoil your optimism. I am not here to
that.
I'm letting you dream. As big as you want to dream.
You're too living in the right now.
I'm in the right now, Molly. I was moved yesterday. I was watching that the rhetoric, and it was lofty and it was idealistic. It was all these things that we needed to hear. It was tremendous. So yeah, I'm on that high right now. Don't knock me off it.
I'm not trying to.
Yeah, you are.
I'm the dreamer. I'm the dreamer, man. I'm the guy with the big plan. I've got the big plan. The big plan is there. Go enact it. Go get the guy. I get it. Might take a while. It's not going to happen this week, but it's fun to think about. And, you know, by the way, Patrick Mahomes, along with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Sammy Watkins, all took part in the Kansas City practice yesterday. Now, today's the big one, according to Andy Reid, but nonetheless, Mahomes, he's the quarterback that the Bears, I wouldn't be daydreaming about Aaron Rodgers if Mahomes was here, right? I mean, we all know what happened and how it happened. There's no need to go over old ground, but apparently very close to being out of concussion protocol and the Chiefs hosting the Bills. I know you're part of the Buffalo Mafia. Bet Rivers says the Chiefs are favored by a field goal. So it's -3 and the total is 53, and that game is the second one on Sunday.
It would be a great story if the Bills get to the Super Bowl. It would be tremendous theater. It really would be fun.
Yeah, it would be. It would be unbelievable if, like, the two smallest markets in the NFL wind up in the Super Bowl. I think that it still would be a game that it would attract everyone because of the star power, because of the novelty of it, and the sort of widespread fandom of both organizations, even though they're in small places. We'll get to it. We'll talk about all of it. We got a lot of stuff to get to. We got the Pick Six next. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This is the Mully and Haw Morning Show, Chicago's #1 and most listened to sports morning show, period. Mornings 5 to 9. Listen on your mobile device through the radio.com app and always on the radio at 670 The Score. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
It's Pick Six with Mullion Hall, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What is or was more absurd, the Bears' season-ending Zoom celebration of culture and collaboration, or their interviewing of 62-year-old Hall of Famer Mike Singletary for the open defensive coordinator job? Have you ever seen the Three Stooges' short Half-Wits Holidays, which includes this reference?
We're organized, amalgamated association of morons, local 6 and 7/8.
Is it a training film at Alice Hall?
Oh, man.
See, I did not want this to turn into that. I was hoping that we could talk about this seriously, but unfortunately, I think it's hard to get through some of the Bears stuff without kind of looking like a bunch of guys are trying to walk out a door at the same time, and one guy is slapping a guy in the face, and you're doing the whole thing pulling hair, and I mean, those are some of the most violent shows ever, aren't they? But they're funny, and they're meant to be funny, and I think that the Bears are funny, and they're not meant to be funny. And that's maybe the point of the whole thing. I honestly believe that Mike Singletary is a good man. He's a great leader of men. Unfortunately, he probably this is probably a professional courtesy. It's probably a nod to the glory of his career and the Bears' past and all that stuff. And I just think that's unfortunate, because I think that he's not a serious candidate for this job.
Yeah, you know, Mo was an underrated leader of men. And when you think about it in the Three Stooges context there, that was always – who doesn't love the Three Stooges? We shouldn't be comparing the Bears to the Three Stooges. We really shouldn't be. Look, Mike Singletary, in all seriousness – if the Bears were talking to him about a role as a team ambassador, sure. If they were going to even tap his brain and expertise and insight to as maybe a special assistant or consultant in the way the Lions did Chris Spielman, okay, I would get that. But the defensive coordinator role in the NFL is not about inspiring and leading as much as it is about disguising defenses and designing blitzes. You need somebody who's going to be strategically at the top of his game in having a state-of-the-art approach to finding ways to stop the Aaron Rodgers of the world, who can close the gap between the Bears and the Packers and all that they do offensively. That's not a guy who hasn't coached on an NFL staff in 5 years. With due respect to all that he means to Bears history, the Bears, I think, can do better. And I think the people that they have spoken to in addition to Mike Singletary reflects that they understand that. So I don't know if it's a professional courtesy or if maybe some of those other roles were in play, but I do think that it was something that warranted a headline. I hope it doesn't get the ridicule the rest of the day that it has already received, and they move on eventually to somebody who is more qualified for the job.
Pick six! Wow!
With the Bears reportedly losing highly regarded D-line coach Dave Rogers to the Chargers, and with several more assistants believed to be on the move, is that simply the typical annual turnover of an NFL staff, or a sign the Bears culture isn't all they proclaimed it to be? And does it suggest the Bears are more likely to go outside the organization for the next defensive coordinator?
It's a pretty interesting thing going on, Molly. I mean, when you look at last year, the offensive coaching staff, Helfrich, Heistand, and Gilbride left, and he replaced them with new guys. And you see that, you know, now the 2018 defensive staff, the only holdover from that group is Sean Desai, who was the safeties coach. And you see the turnover, and you start to wonder about, okay, well, which is it? The culture that they clung to and bragged about last week, if it was such a great culture, why is Jay Rogers not staying? And does he want to be defensive coordinator? He was told no, and so he's going to join Brandon Staley, who was let out the door, by the way, rather than retained. I have my questions, and I think they're valid ones. As far as going outside the organization, Desai would be the only one left that they would be, you know, giving the job to. Other candidates, you know, if you talk to some people or you communicate with some people around the league, it seemed like they're really taken with this Jonathan Gannon, who is a hot candidate with the Colts, but other teams are too, the Chargers and the Falcons. And you see, you know, other possibilities with Betcher because of the relationships. But yeah, I'm not so sure that you can claim that the culture is that great and then watch the amount of turnover that you've experienced on your coaching staff if you're Matt Nagy.
I agree with everything you said. I think that it's very important that people understand how important line coaches are, both on the offensive line and the defensive line. That is kind of where you begin. That's where you begin your building blocks. You need to have good assistant coaches, but usually if you have a good defensive line coach or a good offensive line coach, you want to hold on to them, and you you want to make sure that those positions are covered in what you're doing. So if Jay Rodgers is as highly regarded as we've heard, then it's nonsensical to let him to let his contract expire and to let him leave. But again, there's a certain arrogance to believing that everybody just wants to be a part of your thing and you're going to make a decision on their future when all of them may feel that their future is a beautiful mystery.
I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
If the Bears do go outside the organization for their next DC, should they interview 73-year-old Wade Phillips?
I don't see why not. I mean, he didn't play here, and he doesn't have a you know, connection here. And I get it; he's 73 years old. But guess what? Guy knows X's and O's. It's exactly what you said earlier, David. He knows how to call a defense. He recognizes what an offense is trying to do, and guys play for him. He gets a lot out of a defense. If I'm in a win or else season, and again, I don't know that the Bears are, but I would imagine that you got to do better than 8-8, even if the culture's good and nobody kind of leaves on you, turns on you. I still think that you need someone that can handle that side of the ball, and I know that Wade Phillips can.
If you had an idea that was clearly with the direction you wanted to go after you were replacing Chuck Pagano and you wanted to move fast, then I understand, you know, eliminating Wade Phillips and dismissing the idea of hiring somebody who's 73 to add to your staff. But clearly you're looking far and wide for your next defensive coordinator. You're even interviewing somebody in Mike Singletary who's been out of the league in terms of being on a staff for 5 years. So absolutely, you owe it to yourself. If you're going to leave no stone unturned, that includes this one. And so if Wade Phillips is wanting to retire from retirement, as he tweeted out, and if a 73-year-old is active on social media, then okay. He's still paying a lot of attention. We know what he can do. We know the immediate impact he can have, and he's not going to be surprised by anything that he sees. So absolutely, pick up the phone, see how they want to set up the Zoom conference, have him, you know, interview for the job, and make your decision accordingly. But I do think he should be part of the mix.
A pick six to end the half.
Aaron Rodgers was asked Wednesday if he's thought about the possibility that his fifth trip to the NFC Championship could be his last. Here's his answer.
My future is a beautiful mystery, I think. Present is such a gift.
Should Bears fans view that as Rodgers planning a future in Chicago?
I'm not going to rain on anybody's parade. I mean, if you want to engage in that fantasy, then go by all means do that, Molly. You can lead the way. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers, I think that last spring, that was the time where it was, I think, understandable why people would speculate that maybe he could end up in Chicago, kind of showing the Packers what they let get away. He signed through the 2023 season. There is a possibility that they let him go, or there was even a suggestion before the season that they trade him. That'd be lunacy. That would be absolutely NFL lunacy. Now, you never say never. We saw what happened with Brett Favre. We see what happens with Tom Brady. We see the scenario that it does exist. It is the NFL. But I wouldn't necessarily, you know, be clinging to that shred of hope, thinking that Aaron Rodgers is going to be the quarterback savior in Chicago. I hope for all Bears fans that they find one first.
You can dream. There's nothing wrong with a dream. We kind of went through this. I'd like to lead the charge to get Aaron Rodgers to Chicago. I think he'd be more appreciated as a quarterback if he were to win here. And I think he'd be more appreciated in Green Bay were he to win here. And I think everyone should get on board with it. I think whenever he says anything, we should immediately project that he wants to come here. Just makes you happy in life. Why not do it?
A pick six of 100 yards!
Does the fact that Chiefs QB Patrick Mahomes was allowed to take part in some limited practice on Wednesday all but assure he'll be cleared for Sunday's game? Did you ever doubt it?
Never doubted it. Always thought he was going to play. Always thought he was coming back. Always convinced that that he was going to line up on Sunday, and I'm still convinced of it. I think the fact that he you know gets that, oh yeah, you can practice a little bit. Come on, the guy's playing. Period. End of story. Again, you get to Bet Rivers, and all wagers must take that into account. It's not a dream. It's not fantasy. The guy is playing in the AFC Championship.
Dog bites, man. Come on. He's playing.
Pick six.
What do you make of the NBA planning to move team security to midcourt positions in order to limit pregame, halftime, and postgame hugs and handshakes and other banned contact due to COVID-19 precautions? The league suffered 11 new cases in 6 days ending Tuesday. Will this help?
Nobody knows, but they have to try something. You cannot let this get away from you. You've got to instill in the players who are used to having this sort of lax approach to their, you know, behavior on the court. You get into habits. We all do, and I think it's understandable. But you've got to try to enforce this. You have to try to instill some discipline into their behavior on the court. And so, you know, you mitigate some of these things because they want to get through the season as seamlessly as possible. And the recent trend and the recent kind of uptick in cases is a concern. You hope that's going to be going in the opposite direction soon, not only in the NBA, but across, you know, Chicago and across the country. But whatever they can do to stem the tide and to make things safer and more, predictable and healthier, absolutely they need to try everything.
Yeah, David, I think this is getting out of control for them. I think that they're, you know, the very fact that they've had that many positive tests over a six-day period, you know, we're seeing a couple of Bulls players coming back and will be available on Friday. But goodness gracious, this is frightening stuff. And there is an undercurrent, this idea of, you know, well, if people don't want to get tested, maybe we should do it and to encourage people to get tested. There are 504 players, I believe, under contract right now in the NBA, and I don't know how many are in danger. I think the number is getting higher all the time, and I see all this contact and all the stuff that you normally see during games. And I think the NBA is this to me seems like an almost desperate move to try to get their arms around this before it gets utterly out of control. You know, they're out of the bubble and they're traveling around the country, and it is really difficult. So I think this is a sort of a nod to the fact that they're really hoping to carry on, but they're not sure that they're going to be able to. So they're going with some fairly draconian measures here. They're acting in a sort of drastic fashion, and I think they have to. We'll talk about that a little bit later. We've got our guy Brad Biggs set to join us. We'll ask him his take on Mike Singletary and whether it's a professional courtesy or a serious idea. And first, we'll get to our guy. He is the man. He is the greatest at what he does, self-proclaimed. It's Mark Grody with a scoreboard update. There's nothing wrong with proclaiming yourself, Mark.
Grody!
No, in this era, what's up, boys? I think in this era, when you self-proclaim things, it means more than ever. You know, if I want to be the GOAT of update guys,
you know what?
There's not going to be a lot of guys raising their hands saying, no, it's me.
That's true.
I just don't see it.
Sad but true, Mark.
So, yeah, sad but true. I feel like I am safe in that self-proclamation. We begin with the Bulls. Since you guys were talking about the COVID-19 list, the Bulls actually have a couple of guys on the mend and potentially returning from the COVID-19 list. Thomas Satoransky and Chandler Hutchinson have been down for a while. They are expected to play when the Bulls are in Charlotte tomorrow. Patrick Williams still questionable due to a hip issue, and Wendell Carter Jr. has a thigh bruise that he apparently suffered in practice yesterday, so we'll see about him tomorrow. The Bulls, again, don't play until mañana. The Bears did interview Mike Singletary for their defensive coordinator opening earlier this week. That, according to Adam Johns of The Athletic, and as Molly and Hall were discussing, Brad Biggs coming up next. And he also had a story up and running about defensive line coach Jay Rogers headed to the Chargers to work with Brandon Staley. Again, that's per Biggsy, and he's coming up. Blackhawks host Detroit tomorrow. College basketball, Wisconsin beat Northwestern 68-52. Mully is happy because Loyola beat Valparaiso 75-39. Mark is happy because ISU beat Bradley 71-56. We'll have to check with Haw on Ball State. I don't know if they played last night. I'm Mark Grody, and you are listening to Chicago's number one ranked sports station, 670 The Score, and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station. Brad Biggs. Biggs time. Biggs. With Mully and Haw. Biggs time. The Biggs Report with Brad Biggs. Biggs time. Biggsy. His name is Brad Biggs. Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long-time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us on the Al Pamani Nissan Hotline, Al Pamani Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue or apnissan.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you're the man, and you've got all the info. You tell us what's going on. Jay Rogers apparently not going to be the defensive coordinator, headed out to San Diego. I believe the weather there is better than here. In fact, it's like 70 degrees all the time. It's lovely.
Quarterback's better, too, for the Chargers. And, you know, I had one person suggest to me last week that Jay Rogers would possibly prefer to be the defensive line coach of the Chargers than the coordinator of the Bears. Wow. You talk to some people, this Bears defensive coordinator job isn't viewed as being very good because of the position that the team's in. They've got to turn it around and win. Obviously, there's huge question marks on the offense. And when an assistant coach can align himself on the front end of a deal for a new head coach, certainly that gives the appearance, at least, of more security than being in a position going into year four where the chairman and team president are saying they need to see progress.
So, Brad, help us understand then, is the chairman seeking advice or getting it from Jerry Reinsdorf for his coaching search or the defensive coordinator? And Mike Singletary's been out of the NFL almost as long as Tony La Russa was from MLB, and they apparently interviewed him anyway. So what's going on there?
Yeah, I don't think Mike Singletary's a serious contender to become the coordinator for the Bears. My guess would be Singletary calls George, expresses interest. George asks Matt Nagy if perhaps he has some time to have a conversation with Singletary. That's just my hunch there. I don't think that they would seriously consider Singletary for the job. He's never been a coordinator in the National Football League before. The head coaching run that he had with the 49ers did not go well. I don't see him being in consideration for the position.
So is there a front runner? I mean, you know, I guess we talked about this, Brett. What exactly are they looking for? Are they looking for a veteran guy that can come in and run the operation a la Vic Fangio and Chuck Pagano? Is that what they're looking for? Or do you think there's a possibility that the head coach wants to give up play calling permanently and try to be more of an influence on all sides?
Well, I think he's going to want to have input on all sides, but ultimately you want a guy who's going to get that unit playing at a very high level right away. They time isn't on their side. So do you go with a guy like James Betcher, who's a serious candidate right now? Do you promote Sean Desai from within? If you promote Sean Desai, a guy who's younger, who's never had the job, do you need to try to add a guy or two to the staff that maybe has coordinator experience? So there's some sounding board for him to lean on, you know, when you go to replace Jay Rogers. Do you look for a guy that's possibly been a coordinator before? I mean, there's a lot of moving parts. And if you choose A or B, if those are the two guys that are most in contention right now, yeah, obviously they talked to Jonathan Gannon with the Colts. I think he's a younger guy that could have potentially opportunities elsewhere. George Edwards of the Cowboys in the mix as well. But whichever guy you pick is probably going to influence how you make some other moves. And it's to be determined if there are more staff moves that are going to be made. Dave Ragone, you know, I've been told by a couple of people, likely headed to the Atlanta Falcons, the passing game coordinator. It sounds like Charles London, the running backs coach, he's been rumored in league circles. You talk to coaches in different places. Hey, looks like he's headed to the Falcons too. I haven't been able to confirm that yet, but that's what people are talking about out there. So now you're talking about having to replace a couple guys on the offensive side of the ball. Ragone, maybe not, because they did have five quarterbacks coaches this past season. And then what do they want to do with Mike Furry, the wide receivers coach? That position has really struggled developing players. You know, how often did we see two wide receivers kind of in the same spot on a play this past season? Yeah, that stuff doesn't happen by design usually.
So, Brad, okay, so if this gets all these changes occur, and last year they swapped out the offensive staff, and regardless of the PR message they unsuccessfully tried to spin last week about the culture in the building, privately, are the Bears concerned about the culture that exists to allow this kind of coaching upheaval, or is this just a byproduct annually of every NFL staff? Because it seems like it's happening more and more on Matt Nagy's staff, and that's not a symptom of a team with a healthy culture.
Yeah, I can understand the question, but you know, I think it's a byproduct of these assistant coaches have, when they have an opportunity to put themselves in a better position, they need to do that. Because you can talk about culture all day, but when a coach looks like he's under pressure to win and a guy can stay there or head elsewhere to get, like I said, on the front end of a deal with a new head coach and get a pay raise, I mean, that's a no-brainer, right? You know, these guys, they've got families to support, too. At the end of the day, it's a business for the position coaches and the coordinators as well. So, maybe they just need to look out for themselves. So you can knock the culture, but I just think that stuff's going to happen. Even if they're coming off a 10-6 season, if there's a hey, we got a spot for you here, and you're going to get $115,000 more a year or whatever, you're going to see a little bit of movement every year. You probably see a little bit more movement when it looks like the head coach and the GM are going to be entering the season on the hot seat.
It's no mystery. I mean, if you have an opportunity to start with a new group and then get all the years that guy's allotted, as opposed to being what you feel might be the end of a group, you're going to jump. And I think that the very fact that this is happening isn't so much the culture as it is the kind of life position of a lot of these coaches. And there's a vagabond mentality in coaching where you're always trying to move up and get better and get a chance to do something else and work for this guy or that guy. I think it does speak to the life expectancy of the Bears, of this group, and I think that's probably why it's news.
Yeah, and Jay Rogers, guys, he was at Hallis Hall for six seasons,
right?
Three with John Fox and three with Matt Nagy, and that's a pretty darn good stint for a position coach in the NFL. Did a really nice job developing guys like Eddie Goldman, Bilal Nichols, certainly Roy Robertson Harris, some of these younger guys that have turned into good players for them. Did a really nice job with some of the street free agents that they brought in to get consistent play from them. So that's a void that's been created, one they certainly didn't want to have to deal with, but they will have to adjust.
Brad, I don't know if this is possible to answer until they hire somebody, but is there a possibility that the Bears could be moving toward a 4-3 scheme as their base? I know they're out of their base a lot because of nickel realities and they play with 5 DBs and a lot of things change, but is that possible to get the most out of a Robert Quinn? And maybe even, you know, you get Khalil Mack coming at off the edge in a different sort of way. Is that possible?
Well, I wouldn't rule it out. And Khalil Mack's got the ability to fit any type of front you want to design. Anything you can dream up, Khalil Mack will fit it. Robert Quinn has had more success previously playing in 43 schemes, although the way he looked at times this last year, I don't know that it was a scheme issue. I think it was more a Robert issue. My question would be, okay, you go to a 40 front, so you've got those two guys at defensive end. You take Eddie Goldman and you put him at nose tackle. And then you've got Akeem Hicks who could play three technique, but would not be an ideal three technique. You're looking for that penetrator at that three technique position, and he's more of a stack and shed guy. Bilal Nichols kind of becomes the odd man out in that group right there, and he's also not an ideal three technique. He could play a little bit there. He could certainly sub for Eddie a little bit on the nose. But he isn't ideal. I think when you talk about a 30 front, you've got Mack and Quinn at outside linebacker. You've obviously got Eddie at nose, and then you've got Hicks and Nichols on each side. So I think they're better suited right now to stick with a 30 front. And obviously, if they made a change to a 40 front, they'd have to get some linebackers as well. And that only creates more work if you're potentially considering moving on from Danny Trevathan, who I thought struggled quite a bit this past season. So they've got the personnel to be multiple. They can do a lot of different things. I wouldn't rule a 40 front conversion out, but I tend to think they're probably a little better suited to remain as a 34 for now.
Great stuff, Brad. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
You too.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs, football man of the Chicago Tribune. 312-644-6767 is the number. You hire a defensive coordinator now, and he gets to fill some spots, too. I mean, this is not the worst thing that's ever happened. I don't think it's good to lose coaches by any stretch of the imagination, but if you're hiring the right people, they certainly have their own list.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot more, that's invested in the players you bring in to Hallis Hall than the coaches. That's not to diminish their role or the potential impact, but, this is something that, it takes some time, but because the Bears are taking their time, I don't know that we should read too much into it yet.
312-644-6767, Mully and Haw on the score.
From the hardcore sports bettor to the first timer, BetQL will help you make more informed decisions. That's right, it's not a betting app. It's a tool to give you an edge over the sports books. They crunch the numbers so you don't have to. BetQL, be smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com.
Oh, oh, oh. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.